Okay, we're holding some phase and a phase at the top. Okay, we learned in the first mishnah of the Perek that women, as well as slaves, the Bavim Kanim, are able to become Nazirim. Women, it says, are outright in the Pasuk. Slaves, we learned from Ve'amarta Aleihem. And we said there's a certain Chumrah in, women over slaves, where we said that a master can force his slave to not be a Nazir, to violate his Nazirus, and therefore the Nazirus doesn't take effect, but he can't do that with his wife. He can be made for her nether, but he can't force her to go against it. So our Mishnah continues, Chaymer ba'avadim b'minashim. On the other hand, there's a chumra of slaves over women, as far as Nazirus, shu mefer nidre ishte ve'en mefer nidre avrei. He can be mefer his wife's nether, as we learned in Nedarim. If he is saying that he doesn't want her to have made this neder, then he can say mufaloch, it's canceled for you. But he can't do that to his eved. With his eved, he can be moicha. He can not moicha. I mean, he can force his eved to violate it. But he can't. As the mission is going to say later, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's put away forever. It just means as long as he's an eved, it's not in effect.
And then.
Well, you know what, let's learn the Mishnah, and then we'll talk about the different possibilities. Okay, hefer le'ishtei hefer elomis. If he's made for his wife's neder, then he is made for it forever. So even, in other words, if later on, suppose he changes his mind and says, you know what, I thought it over, it is a good idea for you to be a Nazir, too late. But it never goes into effect. Well, now, actually, let me rephrase that. It's not just a matter of that it's too late and he can't do anything. It means something else also. Suppose that he was mefer to his wife, and then later on he died or he divorced her. Then we don't say the Nazirus goes back into effect. Once he was mefer, that's it. It's gone. As opposed to hefer la'avdoi, if he's mefer for his servant, for his slave, yofel acheros amashlim nazirusai. Then when he goes free, he has to finish his Nazirus. Meaning, in other words, the hafara. Now, when we say hafara over here, so actually, the Rosh says that the Rosh says over here, we just said he can't be mefer for your slave. So the Rosh says the word hafara over here is used in a looser sense. It means if he prevented his eved from being a nazir, it's not a permanent thing; it's a temporary thing. As long as he's an eved, then he can't do it for reasons which we'll discuss in the Gemara. But if he ever goes free, then he actually does have to do his nazir.
And if he goes free and he's master nazir tonight, that he would not do his nazir.
There's no such thing. I don't think you can free an eved based on tonight. I don't know. But anyway, once he's free, he's out of his master's rishus. Now that's the Rambam has a distinctly different shita in how to understand this Mishnah. The Rambam understands that the Chumrah, when we say Shu Mefer Nidre Ishtevein and Mefer Nidre Avdei and Hefer La'Avdei Yotzeh L'Cheirus, the Rambam explains what it means is like this. If a master were to say to his Eved, again, when the Eved makes a Neder of Nazirus, we learned in the first mission of the Perek that the master can force him to violate it. So you're not a Nazir, you have no right to be a Nazir, you don't belong to yourself, as we're going to talk about in the Gemara, therefore you have no ability to do that if I don't want you to. However, if instead he uses the word hafara, if he says mufaloch, then by doing that, effectively he's demonstrating you're not completely under my rishus. Because if he was under his rishus, what are you saying mufaloch? Just force it to be metamel mess or drink wine or what have you. The fact that you're not doing that, the fact that you're not exercising your mastership over him, shows that you want him to go free. In that case, the Rambam says, that's what it means. Hefer la'avdei, not just yotzeh l'cheirus u'mashlim nazirus, if he goes free, then he has to finish off his nazirus. It actually means, the Rambam says, if he's hefer la'avdei, automatically yotzeh l'cheirus. Automatically, that makes it that the slave is now considered to be free.
When he says hefer?
When he says, if the master says to the Eben, mufaloch, that itself effectively is a master. It's the equivalent of a master declaring you're not under my rishus anymore. Therefore, I don't have the ability to be mefer for you.
To force you. It frees the eved automatically.
Yeah, I mean, there can still be the question whether he needs a get shichru or whether he needs an official document of emancipation. But whatever it is, it's considered at that point. Yeah.
So then, if Rambam says that, what's the alternative language?
So the alternative is you don't use any language. You just say, you made a neder of nazir. Tough luck. I don't want you to be a nazir. Eat these grapes now.
But eating the grapes doesn't cancel the neder.
But it does, though, because that's the effect of it. It's saying you made a neder of nazir that you're not allowed to eat grapes, among other things. I'm going to make you eat these grapes. You're my eved, and you have to listen to what I say. So here, take these grapes and eat them. As opposed to, because
canceling
no, that food. Well, that has the effect of canceling the nazir. But we're saying in the Mishnah, that later on he may have to. So again, the Rambam understands. So the Rambam understands that our Mishnah is talking about a case. So in other words, what the Rambam is saying is as follows: if the master forces the eved to cancel the nazir, then that's it. Yes, it's canceled permanently. The same way as if a husband, not a husband doesn't force his wife, but if a husband is mefer verbally to his wife, then again that cancels it permanently, even if later on she's divorced or he dies. Mashenkin, though, according to the Rambam, if the master were to say to the eved mufalach, the same expression that he uses for his wife, then it means you're no longer under my rishus. I'm freeing you, and now umashli nizirusa. Now you're your own person. Therefore, you're going to have to finish off your nizir. That's the Rambam. Where's the Ravid? Well, that's fine. We don't really have anybody after the Rambam who really passed in the Hilchos Nizirus, because none, for the most part, not in the Geya, when the Smith is not standing. But anyway, the Ravid. The Ravid argues with that and says that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means rather that the way we explained it at first, that if he's made for his slave, then it means, doesn't mean he's letting the slave go free thereby. It means that later on, if the slave ever ends up going free, then he's going to have to mash him in the zero. So, and the Ravid discusses the possibilities. Are we talking about only if the master used an expression of hafara, or would it even include what we said in the first mission that he forces him to, or maybe does it have to do basically if it was moicher or not? Is it maybe that we automatically assume that he's not a nazir unless the master says I want you to be, but he wasn't explicitly moicher, and that's when the eved has to make it up later, or if not, then not. Whatever, the eved discusses those possibilities. He doesn't come to any conclusion on that. We learn in a Braisa. Just after the mission. As far as what does his master force in the Eved, the Nazirus. Only as far as Nazirus. So we said in the first mission of the Peret that the master can force his Eved to not be enough.
Directly against the Rambam, apparently.
No. The Rambam definitely says that the master can be kind for him. No, the Rambam definitely says the master can be koyfei. On the contrary, no. Or the Gemara, l'mar rabbi koyfei l'nezirus, avaloi l'nedarim l'erchin, but not as far as nedarim and not as far as erchin. If the ever were to make some other neder, or if he were to declare an erech, then the master has no right to force him to not do that.
According to Rambam,
free. No. Only if he says mufar loch. That's the point. According to the Rambam, by saying mufalach, this is how the Mefarshim and the Rambam explain it, by using the word mufalach, which is something that you'd use for your wife or your daughter, as opposed to koifa, which is what you use for your eved, you are demonstrating thereby that he's no longer your eved.
Right. So he's demonstrating what?
That he's no longer your eved.
By saying
the word mufar, if an eved makes a neder of nazirus, according to the Rambam, So the Mishnah had said that if he's made for the slave, then the slave goes free and he's mashal in the zirusa. So the Rambam says that means exactly what it sounds like. If he says to his slave, it's mufer to you, then by saying that, he's demonstrating that he no longer considers this person to be his eved. If he's your eved, when he's saying mufalach, which is an expression that he'd use for your wife or your daughter, like we learned in Medarim, therefore that makes that the slave now has the status of a free person. And then, therefore, he'll have to make up his nazirus. As opposed to, if you forced him to violate his nazirus, you as a master have the right to do that. You're demonstrating by that you still consider him your slave. Well, good, then. In that case, he's still a slave, and he's not a nazir. So, the Gemara is saying, L'mar rabbet koifer, as far as what does his master force him, l'nazirus. Avaloi l'nadarim l'erchin, but not as far as nadarim, other nadarim, and not as far as erchin. If he took upon himself another nether or an erech that I'm going to pay X amount, that I'm going to pay somebody so and so's erech or my own erech or whatever, now that last case, okay, you'd have to be talking about cases where, for example, somebody had given the eved money almanas that his master doesn't have any rights to that money. We've talked about this concept before. Because otherwise, Masha Kana eved Kana Rabbi, of course, he can't make a nether.
Why is the Gemara using Lashin Kofa and the Mishnah using Lashin Mofer?
The Mishnah had said that Einan Mefer Nidre Avdo. So now, referring back to the first Mishnah of the Peret, saying that the master has the right to be kofa as eved, so what can he be kofa him for as far as the zero? He's not Mefer, yeah. So the question is, so what's the difference? Why are you saying by Nazir that the master is able to force the Eved to not be a Nazir? The Amar Rahmana, because the Pasuk says, lest if Yisr on that, show you that a person makes an Yisr on himself, Misha Nafsha Knuyaloi, so therefore that only applies Al Nafsha, somebody who's Nefesh, somebody who's self belongs to himself. Yotze Eved Shein Nafsha Knuyaloi, as opposed to an Eved who doesn't own himself, because the master owns him. Well, in that case, why shouldn't the same thing apply to Nedarim? At the Pasuk, Lester Yisran Afshe is in Parashas Nedarim. So why are you limiting it only to Nazirus? Amar Rav Sheshet, Chochav Mayaskinan, okay, but we could be talking about a case over here. Suppose that there's a cluster of grapes sitting on the table in front of the Eved when he makes the Nedarim. So when it comes to regular nedarim, if the Eved were to make just a neder, I'm asking myself to eat grapes, or not asking myself, that's a shrua really, but these grapes are also to me like a korban, koinamalai, whatever, as we learned in nedarim. Not as a nazir. These grapes are also to me, period. Only these grapes. Well then, loy mitzvachrini, he's not also in other grapes, let alone in other kinds of species. Therefore, the master doesn't have the right to force the Eved to violate his neder. Because, again, what's the master losing out of it? What's the whole point? Yes, a nafshei knuyaloi. Yes, the Eved doesn't have rights over himself because he belongs to his master. But, okay, you don't want to eat this cluster of grapes that's on the table over here. Fine, there's other clusters of grapes in the store. There's other things you can eat. I don't have a problem with that. Whereas when it comes to Nazirus, if he says, I'm also in grapes, it's not just the grapes that are sitting on the table right now. For all time, or whatever, however long the Nazirus lasts, he's going to be also in all grapes. Therefore, Matzi Kofile, therefore he has the right to force him, because that already goes again. You don't have the right to deny yourself something like that on a long-term basis when that affects your work for me.
Especially that's for you, because he owns a wine place.
That could also be, yeah. Well, I mean, theoretically, a Nazir can work with wine. I think we talked about this earlier.
But that's what they have a tale, because it's free.
Fair enough.
That's a lot of success.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, yeah. So I asked why, but I'm in Nedarim, Mila Askin, and Deleke Elahai Eshkol. Why? Even in the case of Nedarim. I mean, the Brice is not specifying, the Brice is not saying that only in certain cases of Nedarim versus certain cases of Nazirus. The Braita is saying a generic statement. So then the Braita could, just as we'll be talking about, that there's only the one cluster of grapes available. That's all that's available to eat right now. And if the slave doesn't eat that, he's going to be weak. So in that case, you would, according to that logic that you just said, the master should have the right in that case to force him to be over on the Neder, that the Neder shouldn't be chal. Okay, let's try another possibility. Ela Amar Rava, so rather Rava says, or goes back, changes it to Abaya. Let's change the scenario. It wasn't a cluster of grapes, it was a grape seed sitting in front of him. First of all, grape seeds are not normally edible. They're not normally edible. It's not something you can't say that it's affecting the slave's ability to work by not eating it. So again, Gavin and Jordan Bahadur the Mitzah Le Matzi Kofile. So if he says a neder that I won't eat this grape seed, okay, that's only this grape seed, or only grape seeds in general, fine. It's not, you know, Gavin Nazir, it's a Nami Bahreini. When it comes to Nazir, again, he's going to be also not only in all the grape seeds in the world, but also all the grapes and all the wine, etc. Matzi Kofile, therefore, logically, the master should have the right to force him.
Neder and Nazir, is it both for the same amount of time, or the Neder can be...
Neder can be relearned in Nedarim, and Neder can even be for a day or less, or whatever. A Neder can be for any amount of time. Nazir is at least 30 days.
Okay, so the fact that the amount of time does not make any difference.
Doesn't seem to make a difference, now. Okay. Still, the question is, even in the case of Nedarim, you could have a scenario where the only thing available on the table right now is this one grape seed. And again, maybe right now, that's all the slave needs in order to strengthen him enough to be able to do some work. Sometimes it'll strengthen his heart. It'll give him a little extra energy. Just by eating the seed. Yeah. Anyway, the question could be more generically. Forget about grape seeds. What if the guy makes a nether not to eat apples? or not to eat, whatever. Not neder can be chal on anything in the world. Those could be things that strengthen him. And yet the Braita is not distinguishing whether the neder makes him less able to work or not. We're saying a general thing, the jordan you can't force him, and the zirus you can. So what's the reason to distinguish?
That's the fact is you can't force
him to go against another. That's what we're saying. Yeah. Ella Omer Abaya, said no, rather Abaya says, and here goes Abach changes it to Rava. No, it's like this. Lumad Rava Tzarech Lichboi. So as far as what does his, the Brai said like this. For what does his master, not we said before, the Brai, we started quoting the Brai before, Lumad Rava Koifoi, and we assumed it meant for which kinds of things is the master able to force him to not do it. And he said for Nazirus and not for Nadarim, and that brought us into this question. So rather, Abaya, or Rava, or Kornatago, or Sabach, says that's not what the Braitha means. It doesn't mean for what is he able to. For what did he need to? Lamar Rabbit Tzorech Lechboi said, for which things does his master have to force him? Meaning, if he doesn't force him, then the thing is in effect. Oh. That would be Nazirus. And Tzorech Lechboi said, Lamar Rabbit Tzorech Lechboi said, Lashvuah. However, he does not have to force him as far as Nadarim, or as far as Shavuot, because those to begin with are not foul. So the opposite of what we said before. Before we thought the daughter of an Eved Achal and the master has no ability to force him to violate them, whereas Nazirus can be Chal unless the master forces him. Now we're saying the other way around. Regular Nadarim and Shavuot, they have no ability to be Chal in the first place. Nazirus is an exception. It's able to be Chal, but only if the master agrees to it, whereas if he forces him to not, then that also not.
How did we reverse this?
Because I just said Lamar Rabbi Koifei. The Ma'ar Rabbi Kofi we assumed meant for what is he able to be Kofi for him. Now we're saying for what does he need to be Kofi for him, as opposed to what does he not need to. My timer,
so
why
would say was Sonidari?
My timer, so why is that? Oh, Makro, because when it comes to Shavuos, and we have a general hekesh between Nadarim and Shavuos, Oh, Makro, the pasuk says, Lahora Eilahetiv, that a Shavuot consists of, it can be a Shavuot to do bad or to do good. Ma Tov Rishus, Ahara Rishus. So, we have a general rule by Shavuos that, just like because of that hekesh between doing good and doing bad, the doing good is something that's optional to do. Doing good can involve either I make a Shavuot that I'm going to do something myself something good, I'm going to eat this candy, or I'm going to do somebody else good. I'm going to offer this candy to somebody else to eat. So Lahara also has Hara Rishus. The same thing, Hara has to be something that you have the Rishus to do. So Hara, on the face of it, consists of two things also. It can include, for example, that I'm going to hurt myself, I'm going to slap myself in the face, or it can include I'm going to slap somebody else in the face. But you don't have the right to slap somebody else in the face. Yotza Lahara Lachem, Shana Rishus Miyade. So it excludes the case of Lahara to other people. You don't have the Rishus, therefore such a Shavua, if a person were to make a Shavua that I'm going to slap somebody, then that can't be Chal, because he has no ability, he has no right to do that. Same thing over here. Since the Eved doesn't belong to himself, since the master has rishus over him, if he were to make a neder that I'm not allowed to do such and such, then that automatically, that's lahara lacherim. Automatically, that's causing bad. That's causing something bad for his master, because now it's weakening him. He's not able to work as effectively.
So then we seem to be saying here that there's still no difference in Adari and Makar.
So Nazirus, we have a special thing. Nazirus, we have a special thing. First of all, we have the passage before of our Amar Jalehem, which adds them. But Tosfos adds another Svara as well. When it comes to Nazirus, we learned way back at the beginning of the Masechta that Nazirus, we learned from a different pasuk that it's able to be chal on a divine mitzvah as well. We talked over there about the pros and cons of what we mean by divine mitzvah. One possibility is it meant wine for Kiddush and Abdullah, etc. But then the other possibility was, suppose the person had made a shvua, I'm going to drink wine, and then afterwards he makes a neder of nezirus, which includes I'm not going to drink wine. That neder of nezirus is able to be chal on top of the shvua, which already exists, where he has a mitzvah to drink wine because of his shvua. Same thing over here then, Nazirus is able to be chal even over the fact that it harms the master's interest. So it's not totally able to, because therefore the master has the right to be mocha, because after all we do have the word lesser iser on that, not to be mocha, to force him against it, because we do have a pasuk lesser iser on that, that somebody who doesn't own his own self doesn't have the full ability to become a nazir. So therefore, we split the difference, therefore. When it comes to Nazirus, because Nazirus has that unique capability, which regular Nazirim don't, that it's Chal on Divine Mitzvah, Kedvar HaRashus,
That's why.
Therefore, in this case also, it has the ability to be chal, even though it's lahara, even though it's harming the master's interest, if the master agrees to it.
Speaking of Avikani?
Yes. This is, we're talking about an Avikani. An Avikani, there's no question. An Avikani is Nashik Noyoloi. He owns himself. He's just the master only owns his work.
And the master's bottom two that we're going to talk about, the also
no, so we said in the end, a goy can't take nezirus. A goy has no ability to take nezirus the way that a yid does. If a goy wants to make a neder, I won't drink wine, I won't be the time of the mess, or whatever, fine. But he doesn't have the ability. Because he's been mild and total. He's already he's halfway to being a yid already. He accepted mitzvah.
Right from the beginning, he has to do a mitzvah and have merely 40 minutes that's working for him after.
Well, not necessarily. We learned in Yuvamas actually that it depends. First of all, if he doesn't want to, you can take 12 months to try to convince him. During all that time, he's not considered an Eved Kanani. He's still considered a full-blooded goy, so these dinim wouldn't apply to him. But many other dinim wouldn't apply to him also. He doesn't eat from the Korban Pesach, for example, etc. After 12 months, if he still doesn't agree to do Mila and Tvila, then it says you're supposed to sell him to a goy. Or the other possibility we talked about that Amma mentions that in Hilchos Avadim is you can make a tnai with him in the first place, that you're not going to be mild and toivled, you're going to be considered a goy who's just working for me, basically.
Yeah, he doesn't go out to fight shame and all these different things.
Then he doesn't have shame by him, he doesn't have all the advantages of an every tnai, right. Yeah.
So, going back to our discussion, because typically for the Nazir...
That's the point. Right.
That's
the point, yeah.
That's
Tosis. Well, that's Tosis explaining the Gemara, yeah.
But then it has... Not hours, or so, as long as he hears it, he has to tell everybody he can't be another.
You're asking about like a fara because there was a limit till the end of the day. No, by an eved, the pastor, I mean presumably he has the well. Actually, the Tosfos starts saying Tosfos says at the top of the Amud Shaafin Zirus Moichel Venisratze. If he protested, but later on he agreed to it. Shuvlo yuchol lahatu ki ma'ataras kochem dafka. Then he'd need if he wanted afterwards to cancel the evidence of zeros, he'd need real ataras nadarim. So it sounds like
he's not the crazy, but not the work of the boss.
The boss, yeah. After the first time he hears about it, he has to be moicha. He has to be kofa for him to not. Otherwise, it isn't effective.
I don't agree.
No. So it has to be more than moicha. We said in the Mishnah that he can't be made for. He has to actually the valid way to do so. Actually, that was the Rambam versus the Ravid. According to the Ravid, he's able to say hafara, but that's not the equivalent of being moicha. Basically, I'm protesting. I don't like the idea that you became a nazir. According to the Rambam, actually, he would have to be kofa for him, literally. He'd have to force him, here, take these grapes and eat them. Okay, continue the Mishnah. Over Mekenegd Panav, what if the slave left his master's presence, meaning he ran away? Rameo Omer lo yishtev, Rav Yossi Omer yishtev. So Rameo says he's still not allowed to drink wine, meaning he's still a nazir. He's a nazir at that point. Rav Yossi says he can drink wine, and the zero says it's not chal. Now, the Pashtus we're talking about over here where the master hadn't had a chance to do his machar or kfiya yet. So therefore, you know, the nazirus is still in effect until the master says otherwise. So that would be the question over here, what happens over here. The driver discusses the pros and cons of that also. Maybe it does mean even if the master was moicha or forced him or whatever, we might still, according to the previous Mishnah, when we said Yotza Lacherus Mashal and Nazirus, that once he goes out free, he has to finish his nazirus. So we might ask, is that the Gemara is going to discuss, is the Eved considered free to a certain extent at this point? The Gemara says, "Leima b'dishmul kamisugi." Should we say that the Tanoim and our Mishnah are arguing about the principle that Shmuel said? The Amar Shmuel, Hamaskur Avdei Yotze Lachedus. Shmuel says that if somebody makes his Eved Hefker, then the Eved goes free. The Ein Tzarach gets Shichur, and he doesn't even need a document of emancipation. The Gemara discusses over there in Gittin whether there's a different day. I think Rav who says over there that he is free, but he needs to get Shichur. But nevertheless, the point is, how are we relating that to our Mishnah? If we talk about Ovam Mekenegd Panav, means not only he ran away, let's say the owner was Miyayish of ever getting him back. The owner had Yush. That's the equivalent of declaring him Hefker. Yes, the difference is that in Shmuel's situation, if he voluntarily declared him Hefker and he was kind of involuntary, but still Hefker is Hefker.
How would he manifest that just in his mind?
It could be in his mind, but it'd probably be more verbally. You know, in Eilat Matthias, when it talks about lost objects, the Gemara mentions that there was an example of Yush when the guy says, Vilei Lechasar and Kiss, like, woe is me, I've lost this money. That shows, you know, he has no hope of ever getting it back. So that would be the same kind of thing, yeah.
As a short column, as a three times a column, the same thing, you know, probably.
No, not necessarily, actually. The three announcements that the Shalosh should golem over there in Elamathias, that's how many times he's supposed to announce it. Doesn't mean that after that, necessarily, the guy would, maybe not. Yeah, okay. But, I mean, maybe there could be other things also. If you see, for example, you know, as long as he's putting up notices, you know, then it means he still wants him back once he, you know. Yeah. So Rav Meir Islay de Shmuel, Rav Yitzhi Islay de Shmuel. So it sounds like then Rav Meir agrees with Shmuel. Therefore, Shmuel is saying that the Eved is free at this point. Therefore, Lo Yishta. At that point, his Nazirus, which again was suspended because it was dependent on what the master would say, now it can go into effect.
He has a change in status, doesn't he? First he's an Eved, and now he's a suspended.
Well, that's the point. He's been heard now, yeah. Rav Yitzhi
Islay ran away.
Because now he's Hefker, in other words, yeah. As soon as he becomes Hefker, as soon as the Hefker status goes into effect, meaning that now he's considered an Eved Meshuchrer, at this point, Rav Meir would say, good, now the Nazirus is able to go into effect.
Not just by
running away, that's the point. We're saying over here, when he ran away and long enough has passed, or whatever, that the master has given up hope of getting him back, which means that he's Hefker.
In one case, it was the Nazirus, it was a going out of the Yid.
When he made the Naziris,
he was an Eved.
He was an Eved. So why do we have to take into account the fact that he freed himself afterwards?
Because that's the point. It also depends, again, on the different ways we learn the previous Mishnah. Do we learn that his Nazirus, even though the master was Mefer, forced him to, as the case may be, do we learn that Nazirus, if we say that Nazirus is still sort of suspended, as long as he's not his own person, Nazirus is not able to come into effect because of the reasons we just said in the previous trivia, but now that he's free, it's able to come into effect, well then fine, that it's able to come into effect. Or we would learn it and say that we're talking about before the master even had a chance to be Mefer. Mele, if the master had been Mefer or Kofer or whatever, fine, that's in existence forever. But if the master hadn't even had a chance to say anything yet, and then the Eved ran away, and now he's Hefker because the master has given up hope of finding him, maybe now the Nazirus is able to come into effect.
Regardless of the fact that when he made that Nazirus,
yeah.
He was still an Eved.
Yeah, same way, for example, as we learned back in Nedarim, we learned about a case where a person declares, I'm a Nazir today, and I'm a Nazir after 30 days, and I'm a Nazir today. Then he said, you know, the one Nazirus is in effect right away, and the other one is sort of hanging in there, in the air, until it says, yeah. Same thing, then, of course, hanging in the air, kind of, yeah. Rav Yossi less than Shmuel, and we would argue then Rav Yossi does not agree with Shmuel. And therefore, in other words, he's not free yet, so therefore Yishtei, he can still drink wine because he's still under his master's rishus. And he says, Loi, no, the Kol Alma is through to Shmuel. No, we could say everybody does agree with Shmuel. Ela Manda Alma, no. So in other words, both of them would say, therefore, that effectively at this point he's free. But Ela Manda Alma Yishtei, because Rav Yossi, who says that he can go ahead and drink, Sava, he figures like this, Sof Miyad Ehad of Asif Legabe, eventually he may end up returning to his master. Lishtichamra, meanwhile, let him be able to drink wine. This way, while he's away, he's not getting weaker. When he eventually comes back, eventually, if the master is able to get a hold of him and bring him back, he won't be weak. That's the point. In other words, we're not saying Yishtah as in he's a real Nazir. What we mean is Yishtah, let him go ahead and drink wine. Don't make his Nazirus bichal yet, because you want to protect the master's interest in him. You don't want him to become weak. From not drinking, I don't know. Whether they used to drink wine then, like we drink seltzer, you know. I mean,
he goes back to the master. He's a free person. How's he taking back as an Eved?
Because the master may have given up hope, but after all, I mean, you know, think of any lost object. I mean. So one thing is actually
before the case where we thought he did make Yush.
So that's the thing. That's what Tosafot says actually, that we thought that Ovah Mekineged Ponov means that long enough has passed that the master was Megayish. Now we're saying, this is what Tosafot says, that no, he's not yet Hefker.
Right.
So therefore, he's not yet Hefker. So in other words, when we say they both agree with Shmuel, means what Shmuel is saying is not relevant to this situation over here. Right. Shmuel's talking about Matthew. He wasn't yet Matthew him. So he still is considered an Eved. So why should Rabbi Yossi say that he can go ahead and drink? Because he's still an Eved. Eventually, if a master is able to get him back, then he wants him to be strong. Whereas a mayor who holds he shouldn't drink, the mayor figures, let the Eved feel some tsar, that way he's more likely to want to go back to his master, and that way he won't be a nazir, because his master will prevent him from being a nazir, and therefore. Now, the Rambam passes like they're not talking about a case. Is he technically a nazir or not? We're talking about. Do we want to allow him to not have his nazirus in effect yet? So now, the Rambam passes like Rav Meir, and the Rambam argues on that. The Rambam says, "What are you talking about? Whenever you have Rav Yossi versus Rav Meir, the halacha is always like Rav Yossi." So the Mefarshim on the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, and the Radvaz talk about maybe the Rambam had the opposite Girsa over here. Maybe in his Girsa, the Meir's and Rav Yossi's opinions were flipped around. But then there's a different explanation that I saw in those Siyata Dishmaya Mishnayot they have out there. They bring from a couple of Mefarshim who say, the Gemara mentions in a number of places a concept called Halacha Kur of Meir Bigzeroysov. That when a Meir says something as the halacha, not because technically it has to be the halacha that way, but because of a gzera, then the halacha is like him. In this case, it's considered to be a gzera. The fact that we want to prevent this Eved from drinking wine in order that he'll have an incentive to return back, to come back, that's considered a gzera, and therefore the halacha can well be like him.
Why in general trial do an halacha like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi
Yossi? So the Gemara mentions in Gittin, so we'll learn in a few months about Hashem, that Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo. Rabbi Yossi, whenever he said something in halacha, he always had a good reason, a good explanation for his shitta. Rameyer, on the contrary, we learned way back in Eruvin that Rameyer was so, his ideas were so deep and so profound that his chaverim couldn't always understand what he's getting at. Whereas Rabbi Yossi was more, I guess, practical and down to earth in that sense.
There's something, same thing with this. It's almost a deep tinker what was played by other Gemaras.
You're talking about Sinai Voi Kohorin?
Right. One was to do with Allah, dealing with certain things with business or
Rav and Shmuel. Maybe you're thinking about halacha. The halacha is usually like Rav in Issur v'Heter, and like Shmuel and Dini Mominus. Right. Shmuel constantly dealt with Dini Mominus. He was a Dayan. Yeah, maybe that's it. Okay. Next. So now we're gonna deal more with Tumah V'Tahara of a Nazir, and basically from here until the end of the Masechta, we're pretty much going to be dealing with various issues of Tumah V'Tahara. Yeah, Mishnah says, yeah, really. Nazir shegilach for nodelah shu tomei, a nazir who shaved at the end of his nazirus, and then he found out that he was tomei. Im tuma yidua, so if it was a known tuma, then he loses his time, like we discussed earlier in the Masechta. Im tuma, meaning he has to start over again. We learned earlier in the Masechta, the Machlokas, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Eliezer, whether at that point he loses the whole thing or whether he only loses the 7 days of Tara. Yeah. Actually, we'll discuss in the Gemara who the Tana of our Mishnah is, anyway. So wait. Tumah Yadua means a known Tumah.
Yeah,
as opposed to, the Tumah Tahoim, Eine Soiser. However, for the Tumah Tahoim, then he does not lose. Tumas Tahoim, we're going to define in the Gemara, basically means a tumas mess where nobody in the world could have known about this tumah.
Somewhere where only one person.
We'll talk about in the Gemara the details. Yeah. So if it's a tumas Tahoim, then he doesn't lose. Im actually gilach, if he found out before he shaved, then kach ben kach. So either way, even if it was a tumas Tahoim, he still loses his time and has to start over. 30 days or whatever, yeah. Ketad, what is this? What's an example? Yoram Litvo Bamaira, suppose that the Nazir went to Tovel in a cave. Now, we're not talking about Toveling from Tumas Nest. We're talking about, for example, he was talking about Sheretz or whatever, Tumas Keri, whatever it is. He went down to Tovel in a cave. They used to Tovel in caves in those days. They didn't have purpose-built McVoys necessarily. Vinimsam Nest Sophia Myra, and then you find a dead body floating on the surface of the cave, on the surface of the water. Tommy, then he say, that the Nazir is Tomei. Not even necessarily because he might have touched the body, but because he may have been under the same oil, is it? Yes.
The guy went to Mikveh and made it out.
Right. So, and Tosfos points out, the point of mentioning that he went to the Mikveh is, even though he's going to the mikveh, you'd think that for sure he would have checked around him to make sure there's nothing tummy. Nevertheless, we still say that there's too much of a chance that, remember, it's Rishus HaYachid, Sofik Tum of Rishus HaYachid is tummy, so therefore he's tummy now.
He says he removed the body and went back to the...
If what? If somebody else removed the body?
If you remove the body.
If you remove the body, then at the point you remove the body, you become tummy.
Yeah, but then he goes to Togo.
He's already tummy back. He's already, yeah. On the other hand, Nimsa Meshuka Bakaka Maira, what if you find the body sunk down at the bottom of the cave? So, in other words, at some point, obviously, somebody must have gone in there and drowned. Yorab Lahoker Tahar. So now, if this Nazir had just gone into the water in order to cool off, take a swim, then he's Tahar. And Tosfa says that's also a chiddush. Even though he's just going in for a swim, you'd think maybe you're not, you can't assume he's checking very carefully the situation. Maybe there is a mess more exposed and he became tummy. No, if later on we find that there was a dead body at the bottom of the cave, no problem. Well, that's the Trumas HaTayim. That's what the Mishnah is saying. If he only finds out after he was Megaleach, no problem. On the other hand, Litahar Mitumas Nes Tomei. On the other hand, if he went into the cave, if he went into Tovel in order to become Tahar from Tumas Nes, then Taka he's Tomei. Even if he only finds out later. Shechezkas Tomei, Tomei, Vechezkas Tahar Tahar, because we have a general rule. The Chazaka of a person who's Tomei is that he's still Tomei, unless we know for sure that he became Tahar. Vechezkas Tahar Tahar, the Chazaka of a Tahar person is he remains Tahar. Sheraglayim Modavar, because you can make an assumption. Raglayim Modavar literally means the thing has legs. I mean, it has a leg to stand on, kind of. Now, in this case, actually, in our Mishnah, the words Raglayim Modavar are not... Yeah, the Gemara is going to point out this whole business of Trumas HaTahayim. The Gemara is going to point out as Halacha Moshe V'Sinai. So it's not really a question of Raglayim Modavar. It's not really a case of we have a basis to make an assumption on. But in the case of Trumas HaTahayim. But there's a general concept. The Mishnah is bringing it more as a general concept. If you have a person who's Tomei, and you're not sure now, there was a suffix, whether he became Tahar or not, then you assume he's still Tomei. This comes up in Hilchos Mikvayos, for example, a person tabled in a mikveh, and there was a suffix whether the mikveh was tahar, for example, and not tahar, whether the mikveh was kosher, for example, versus suffix tahar, tahar, if you have a person who was known to be tahar, and now there's a suffix, which is an abim, whether he became tahar, then you assume he's tahar. This is called raglayim modavar, that we have a basis to make an assumption on.
And the thing is, when
he stepped on it, but he finds out right away he's Tomei, but no, we're talking about he went into the water. Later on, somebody was dredging out the cave or whatever, and they found the body, and they come and tell him, you should know, you know, you went and tovled in there last week. Now, I know you already shaved for your Nazirus, but, you know, you should know there was a body in there. Well, since it was Tumas HaTahayim, since up until this point, nobody in the world could have known about it, then therefore, it's okay. He's still Tomei Mess. He's still Tomei Mess, mind you, but he won't have to lose his time of Nazirus and support all over again.
Oh, he's Tomei
Mess. He will be Tomei Mess. He will also be sprinkled, but at the end of that, he can bring his club on his power and he's good.
That's but not saying that the guy died later afterwards.
No.
I was asking whether this club going off and he's the last one out. So, I was there, but okay. He is Tomei, but he doesn't lose his
right. How do we know this concept of Trumas HaTahayim? Amar Rav Elazar, the Amakra, the Pasuk says, by a Nazir, Chiyomos Meis Olav Befesa Pisaim, the Pasuk says, if a mess dies on him, suddenly. Pesa Pisaim means suddenly, yeah. Olav means B'muchuveres, so the word Olav is unnecessary in the Pasuk. It means where it's clear to him, like not literally on him, but like next to him or whatever way he could have known about it. Rishlachish says, I have a different Pasuk. Amakra, Ki Yiyah Tomei L'Nefesh Omederich HaFoyka, by Pesach Sheni. The Pasuk says that if, by Pesach Rishon rather, it says that if a person was Tomei on a far way, which implies Ki Derech, the Tumah has to be like the road. Ma Derech V'Golu, just like a road is open and everybody can see it. Achkol V'Golu, the same thing. Tumas Nes has to be something where the person was Tomei with something that's known to other people. So both of them agree to the din. They're just arguing basically. One says we find it by Nazir, and we also learn from there for Korban Pesach, and the other says the other way around. We learn it in the Pasuk from Pesach, and from there we derive to Nazir. Either way, they're using a Mamasinu. What about this that we learn in a Braisa? Ezuri Tumas HaTahayim. What is the definition of Tumas HaTahayim? Kol She'enem Akira Echa B'Sofa Olam. Anything that not even somebody at the other end of the world knows about. Ava Makira Echa B'Sofa Olam, but if you have something that even somebody at the other end of the world could know about, Ein Zu Trumas Atahim, that's not a Trumas Atahim. So,
How do you find out about it?
So, according to the opinion, according to Rish Lakish, who learns it from the word derech, okay, I can understand the logic. You're saying a derech, a derech has to be visible basically to everybody in the world. So fine, here you have somebody in the world, somebody else knows about it. El Madam Bumchoverislay, but according to Rav Elazar, who's learning it from all love, and that means all love to him. Who cares if somebody at the other end of the world knows about it? You, the Nazir, don't know about it. It's not all love. It's not next to you. It's not in your knowledge. The two, and not only that. Hold the time here. What about this that we learn in another Braisa? If a person finds, we'll analyze this more on other days, if somebody finds a mess lying across the width of the road, obviously, we're not talking about that he just found it there and walked over it. We're talking about that later on, they dig up the road or whatever, and they find the body. But Nazir will ask the Pesach Tahar. If he was a Nazir, or if he's on his way to make the Korban Pesach, then he's Tahar. So the Nazir, we said in our mission, I mean, not Tahar in the sense he still becomes Tahar Mech, but in the sense that he's not Soser in the Zirus, if he found it after the Shiglachas. Tahar insofar as in the Zirus is concerned, right? And Osa Pesach, again, means that his Korban Pesach was acceptable. If he finds out between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni that this happened, he won't have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Maishna, so what's the difference? If we're learning it from these respective psukim, Olav or Derech, I skipped a line. But Truma Tomei, but Nazir of Asiyas Pesach Tahar. So when it comes to Truma, he's Tomei. I skipped the word for Truma Tomei. But Truma Tomei, when it comes to eating Truma, we do consider him Tomei. When it comes to Nazir and Asiyas Pesach, we consider him Tahar. Aishnasa, what's the difference? Why don't we say we learn from Nazir and Oitha Pesach for everything else? Now, when I learned this, I wondered, and I haven't found an answer to it, but you want to mention in a lot of places the concept that if you have that if you have a din that's taught in two different places in the Torah, it's bedavkin not meant to apply to anything else. So what's the Gemara even asking that we should think to apply it to Truma if we have two different psukim? I don't know.
There is a mandam of the
Shnei Suma Boim Kachad, right, there are three that don't, but the general assumption throughout Shas is that two is enough. I don't know. Elos of the Gemara says, no. Truma Satayim Gemara Gemiri Law. This concept of Truma Satayim, it's at the Halacha L'Mishmi Sinai. Finished. So there's no asking on it. The Halacha L'Mishmi Sinai says that it only applies to Nazir and Oitha Pesach.
Here, later on, you find out that Vaday fixed it up ahead of Pesach Shinis to the person says, no, you don't have to.
Right.
Maybe,
actually, even more than that, we had a case in Tzachim, for example. We had a Tosfos actually discusses one issue. Actually, well, we'll discuss it in the next piece of Gemara. It's really on the next piece of Gemara. But Tosfos discusses there's another issue also with Oitha Pesach anyway, namely the concept of Sitz Meratzeh, which we learned way back. We had a whole complicated sugya about it in Tzachim. That in certain cases where a korban otherwise would have been pasul, then it becomes kosher, it becomes acceptable, because as long as the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz. So we had certain cases over there. One of the cases actually was where a person became Tomei by Tumas HaTahim, and then the blood of the Kohen Pesach was sprinkled on his behalf. So later on you find out that even that he was Tomei, the tzitz is Mirata and the Kohen is acceptable.
He's still
Tommy, but he doesn't have the point. He's Tommy, but the Korban is kosher. Yeah. He's been yoked to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Okay. The Mishnah said, Imam Shalei Gilach. Hello, the Mishnah said... The Mishnah had said that it depends whether the Nazir was Megaleach yet or not. We said if he hadn't shaved yet and he found out that he's Tomei from Tumas HaTahim, then he does lose his time and has to start all over again and so forth. Mantana, who's the Tana? Who said that? Amar Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. This would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Tiglachas Nakemis. Rabbi Eliezer had said earlier in the Masechta that the Tiglachas is the key thing, that without that you haven't completed your Nazirus. And until you do the shaving, you haven't completed your nazirus. As opposed to the Chachamim had said, once one of the korbanos is brought on his behalf, then that's it. He's already yotze. Even if he hadn't done the tigrachas yet, right? What if now the person became Tomei with a known tumor, let's say, or Tumas HaTahim, doesn't matter, Tosfos says. He became Tomei with some kind of tumor during his Nezirus, and he only found out about it after Malois, but after the days of Nezirus are completed, but before he shaved. Mahu, so then what's the din? Bossa Yediyah Azlinen, do we go according to when he found out about it? The idea Achamaloisi, and he only found out after Malois, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, we just said the mission has according to Rabbi Eliezer, then he would only lose 7 days, just the 7 days that he has to that of sprinkling, and then he can immediately bring his Korbanos, and he's done. Or maybe not. Maybe it's considered he did become Tomei during Malois, during the 30 days. So therefore, he Ulamai Lamister, and then he would be, and then he would have to be Sois for everything, the whole 30 days. Oh my brother, Toshma, well come, let's prove from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Im Achalek Gilach." If he found out before he shaved, Ben Kach or Ben Kach Soiser. So either way, he loses his time. Now let's consider Hesi Domi. What is the Mishnah talking about? What case is the Mishnah talking about? Idis Yadalei the Soiser Malois. If he found out during Malois, Tzrichah LeMeimer. Well, then obviously, needless to say, that he has to be Soiser. El Olav LaAchav Malois. Obviously, it must be that not that he found out rather. Yeah, that he found out for Soiser Malois. Yeah, Tzrichah El Olav LaAchav Malois. We must be talking about where he only found out after Malois.
Before that, there's a question.
Right. Shema Mina, so that proves it. But wait, we haven't finished the discussion yet. Because Rava himself is continuing his proof, that still, based on the Mishnah, you could be asking, Kulo Soisu or Shiva Soisu. Let's see, when the Mishnah is implying that if he found that there can be a case when he's Soisu, then you have to ask, is he Soisu everything or only 7 days? So Laman, so we'd have to ask who would be Ilema the Rabbanon, we ask according to the Rabbanon, Pshita the Kulo Soiser. Of course he has to lose everything. The Rabbanon always say even Acham Alois, you lose everything until one of the Korbanos has been brought. The Ila of Eliezer, call Acham Alois Shiva Soiser. And according to Eliezer, any time it's after Malois, even before you shave, you're anyway only losing 7 days. Wait. On the loss. So now we can answer. Hanimili Kinitma Acham Alois. You can answer, though, that Rabbi Eliezer would be talking about the case where he first became Tomei after Malois, the high listening Malois, too, whereas in our case, we'd be talking about, or the other way around, our Mishnah would be talking about Acha Malois after the 30 days. The previous discussion would be talking about if he became Tomei during Malois. The first way I said, Kinit Ma'acha Malois, then Rabbi Eliezer says he only loses 7. Ma'ai Lifnei Maloisu, where this is considered before Malois, Ojil Moshaini Hacha, the idea Acha Maloisi. Or maybe we'd say it's different over here, because he only finds out after Malois. Umina, and then we can prove from this itself, Katani, because the Mishnah says, Bein Kach, Bein Kach, Soiser, that either way he loses, Veloi Komiflig, he actually is really supposed to be Komiflig, he doesn't distinguish. In other words, the Mishnah itself, The Mishnah itself is not distinguishing whether Nisma before Malois or after Malois. The Mishnah is saying he only finds out after Malois, implying, in other words, that there's no difference whether he became Tomei during Malois or whether he became Tomei after Malois. Either way, basically, we're going according to the idea. We're going according to when he finds out.
If he found out at the end, after it was 30 years past, then.
So if he finds out after, that's the thing. What we're saying is like this: if he became Tomei during the 30 days, and then he only that's what we're saying. Actually, Rava is saying in the end, according to Rabbi Eliezer, regardless whether he became Tomei during the 30 days and only found out afterwards, but if he found out after his shaving, or whether he first became Tomei to begin with after Malois, and then he found out after his shaving, either way, Eine Soiser. Either way, he doesn't lose. Either way, he doesn't lose any time. Not even the 7 days. Not even the 7 days. Well, yeah. I mean, he can't bring the Korbanos while he's Tomei, but he does. Once he shaved already, then that's it. He's no longer another. So he'll fill in as the rest of his Korbanos later on when he's able to.
But the main thing is, if he once the 30 days finish, and then he finds out that he was Tomei.
According to Rabbi Eliezer, if it was before Giluach, he loses only 7 days.
But if he doesn't lose that, he doesn't lose even that, right.
So the Rosh discusses over here that, the whole discussion that Rami Bar Chama is bringing up, the Mishnah The Mishnah talks about that the Mishnah says the Mishnah is saying, the Mishnah itself is saying that if he, even if he finds out after his Yuluach, but if it was a Tumah Yidua, if it was a known Tumah, then it's Soter, then he loses. So obviously you go according to when he became Tomei. By definition, the Mishnah is talking about that he only found out after Malois, so that's what the Mishnah is saying. But since it was a Tumah Yidua, then we don't give him the Tumah Satahoy dispensation, he's still Tomei. So what is Rami Bachama asking about whether you go according to the time of Tumah or the time of Yidia? So the Rosh answer is that the Rosh answer is like this. Suppose that the guy brought his korbanos. Suppose he brought his korbanos, and later on it turned out that he was Tomei. So that's fine. There's no question then that we go. Then there's no question we have to go according to Tumah because he brought his korbanos when he was Tomei.
So
at the very least he's going to have to bring his korbanos. Maybe so. I don't know. The Rosh doesn't say whether he says Sarkoil in that case. But if he became, we're talking about Rami Bachama's discussion is, and the Mishnah is talking about he became Tomei after Malois, but before he brought his Korbanos. Well, according to Rabbi Elazar, before he shaved. So then, according to Rabbi Elazar, depending on the circumstances, according to the Rabbanan before his Korbanos, according to Rabbi Elazar before his haircut, he's still considered a Nazir. Therefore, you can argue that that's what Rami Bachama is asking. In that case, maybe we go according to Yudia. Maybe if he'd already brought his korbanos and shaved and everything, his nazirus is for sure going to be over at this point. Necessarily, you have to go according to Tumah at this point. If you go according to Yudia, then there's no nazirus. There's nothing to do. So we have to be talking about. So Rami Bachama has to be talking about. That's why he says after Malois, but before he shaved, which is what the Mishnah is saying, or even again after he shaved, but at that point, you know, it's still in the process of bringing his korbanos. Okay, that's what he said. The Mishnah is according to Rabbi Elazar. So if somebody finds a mess lying across the way. So we said before, it's called Truma Yisamei, with a Nazir of Oysa Pesach Tarah, when it comes to a Nazir or somebody who's going to bring the carbon Pesach Tarah. Actually, when we say Amoitim Mesim Mutal Reich Mishalderach, actually, we're not necessarily talking about Tumas Tahoim. We could be talking even just if it's exposed there on the road. But with Nazir and Oysa Pesach, we have a reason to be made on him. No, because, wait, you'll see. When are we talking about? When there's no room to pass without necessarily touching or being mile over the body. But if there's room to pass by, after Truma Tahar, then even when it comes to Truma, he would be Tahar. No, you know what? I'm sorry. No, we are talking about Truma Tahar. The difference is if there's room to pass, even when it comes to Truma, we can say that the mess is lying all across the path, but so what? He may have taken a detour.
Exactly.
He doesn't necessarily, but he could have at some point on the road. There's no reason to assume necessarily. Again, remember, this is a road. It's a path that's considered Rosh Hashanah. So, Sofak Tumah Rosh Hashanah is Tahar. So if you're talking about, you know, it's a narrow road, there's walls on both sides and so forth, necessarily you have to walk over the road, then we're saying for Nazir and Oysa Pesach, we have a special dispensation of Tumas HaTorim, we don't have that for Truma. Yeah, we are talking about Tumas HaTorim. But if there's room to pass by on the side, okay, who says he went on the road the whole time? He may have gone off the road at times.
But doesn't it just say that he passed on the sides? Why?
That's what it means. Shame on Mokum Laver. It means that there's room to pass by. Yeah. So if he has Mokum Laver, then even a Truma. The Medrum Mumshamate Shalom. Furthermore, when are we talking about if you find the body whole? Again, not he found it, but somebody else later dug up the road and found the body. So if you found it whole, Ava Meshuga or Mefoda, but if you find the body broken up or divided up, Afila in Mokum Laver, so then even if there's no side places to pass by, Chayshinen, we can think, and usually Chayshinen means a negative thing, sometimes, right. Like in Al Gemara, it means a positive thing. Shema ben Prokin, although he may have walked between the parts. So usually Chayshinen means Lechoshish Lechomer. There's a few places in the Gemara where it means the Kola.
Why do we say Afila Emlach, which is Afila Yesh Mokum Laver?
No, because if there's Yesh Mokum Laver, then by Chivin, by Chuma, you're Tahar. We're saying,
but if it's Mefurah.
Mefurah, in other words, so you have, here's the road, there's no place to pass by the side because there are walls, but later on when they dig up the body, they find one part of it was here, one part of it was here, Right. So there's room. There's room to pass between. Chayshin and Shem have been stuck in over. He may have walked between the parts. Even it may not be a straight line. Again, so you can assume he went zigzagged. Whatever. The point is, there's room to assume that he remains Tahar. However, if you find the body in a grave, and the grave doesn't have the thing that we talked about a couple of weeks ago as far as the tefach al tefach or whatever that makes it that you have we talked about the different dinim over there whether the tumah extends up above the whole kever or when it extends above just above the individual pieces. So if it's in that type of kever, then tomei, then the person is tomei. They should kever mitzvah because then the kever combines it all together. So even you have one part here and one part here, but it's in a kever, and the din is the entire kever is mitzvah tumas oil all around it. So then necessarily, so even if he walked between the parts, it doesn't matter. He became tomei tumas oil anyway.
So we said if it's the wall starts from the body, the wall floor in between.
Right. So that's what we said. We talked about there. Basically, yeah. There was a
three talking,
not three talking, one tefach.
One tefach.
And the top, right.
The top
of the kever,
that's
right. So then, it gets a little complicated. There's actually a number of different opinions. I was showing him on the details of it, but yeah.
If there is a table,
whatever type of kever it is that needs to, that has the din of kever, so that's the type we're talking about. However, when is all this talking about? The Mahalach Beraglav. All this is only talking about if the person is walking on foot. Abel Tone, but if he's carrying a load, a Rochu, who is riding on an animal, Tomei. Then he's Tomei. Lefisha Mahalach Beraglav, Yepshalay, Shalay, Yigavro, Shalay, Yosef, Shalayayel. Because when you're walking on your feet, you're able to walk straight, standing straight up. You're able to avoid touching or moving or carrying. Not carrying, touching or moving or being an oil. But if you're carrying a burden or you're riding on an animal, and inevitably you sway back and forth a little, necessarily you're going to touch or move you'll be an oil over the mess. Really, I mean, Yugan and Yosef are not really relevant over here when we're talking Tumas HaTahorim, buried in the ground anyway, but Yugan and Yosef are relevant to other dinim of Tumas HaTahorim. For example, the concept of a base of pras. If you're going through there's another case where we talk about there's a difference between Nazir v'Oitz Pesach and everybody else, namely as far as the base of pras. We've talked about this a number of times. If you have a field where there was a grave and then that field was plowed up, where Midrabanan were concerned the grave may have been plowed up also and bones have been scattered all over the place. So depending on the circumstances, in certain circumstances over there, then if you're walking, for example, depending on the details. So if you're walking, then there can be cases where you're taller because you can be careful not to touch or not to be basic. Whereas if you're riding on an animal, you can't. When is all this talking about? Tumas HaTahorim. This is all Tumas HaTahorim. Avol Tumah Yadua. But if it was a known Tumah, Shlosh and Tmeim, then all three of them, the Nazir, the Oitz Pesach, and the Hidur of Tumah, are all Tumah. The Ezer he Tumas HaTahorim. What is the definition of Tumas HaTahorim? Kol She'ein Makira Echad B'Seif HaOlam. If it's something that not even somebody at the other end of the world could know about. So let's say, in other words, you find a body where it seems the person died of natural causes. I'll tell you something soon interesting that the Ravid, not the Ravid, but the Radvaz says about this on the Rambam. So let's finish the sugya first.
And somehow he was muddy and he got sunk in.
Yeah, let's say. Or, I mean, gradually, I mean, sediment gathers up over time, yeah. Makira echad b'soif ha'olam. If there's somebody even at the other end of the world who might know about it, ein zu tumas ha'tayim. And that's not the definition of tumas ha'tayim. Some examples: hayatamun v'tevenay b'tzuras. If the body was buried under straw or under gravel, under little rocks, hayatamun v'tevenay b'tzuras. And that can be considered a tumas ha'tayim. On the other hand, by yamim. But if you find it, for example, in the sea, or in the darkness, or in the kikayasloyim, or in a crevice between rocks, ain't the tumas ha'tahorim, then that's not tumas ha'tahorim. Most people wouldn't see it, but conceivably, somebody may have come there when the water level was lower and seen the body. Somebody could have come there with a flashlight and seen the body in the dark, as there was in the kikayasloyim, the same thing. So therefore, that can't be considered tumas ha'tahorim, because there is the possibility that somebody may have seen it. Mashenkin, if it's buried even under straw or gravel or what have you, nobody in the world may have seen it. person may have died, and eventually, years later, somebody came and piled straw on top of there with that.
That'd be even better for them when they have radar detection.
I don't know. The loy omer tumasa tohoim elo the mess milbad. Now they only say tumasa tohoim as far as the din of a mess. Now what does that mean? What is the Gemara coming to exclude? What is the Braisa coming to exclude by that? So Rashi says that it means as opposed to zov and zava. Tumasa tohoim in the case of a zov would be, for example, the case where a zava on the seventh day of their counting went and brought their korbanos, and then later on that day they had another remission of zivus. So effectively it's tumasa tohoim. They couldn't have known about it at the time. It hadn't even happened yet. If we say that there's tumas hatahim, it would mean that their korbanos were acceptable and good. If not, though, then since we say tumas hatahim only applies to a mess, then no, we don't say that. We say their korbanos are retroactively possible. That's how Rashi learns it, and that's also how the Ravid and the Rambam learns it. The Rambam, on the other hand, has a different shita. He says, when it says, lo'omru tumas hatahim elo l'mess bilbad, he means for a mess, for somebody who died naturally, as opposed to a horuk, as opposed to somebody who was killed.
Possibly, yes.
Well, so now some of the Forishim on the Rambam discuss, including the Radvaz, that the vort is like this, the Radvaz says. For example, even if you have a person who's killed, conceivably, what if, for example, let's say somebody shot him and then left him to die? But when the person left, he was still alive. He's not a mess yet. You could still argue that that is Tumas HaTahoim. Because at the time he died, nobody was around, and nobody since then may have known that he's lying there dead.
He was never shot. I think he was picked up and taken away.
Maybe, whatever it is.
So that's on the grass. It's still the possibility of someone saw him.
But that's the point. This is how the Radvaz explains the Rambam. Even if you have a person when the Rambam says a person who died naturally as opposed to a person who was killed, even if he was killed, let's say, with an arrow, that doesn't necessarily mean it can't be Tumas HaTahoim. Because yes, obviously the person who shot him knows he shot him. But he doesn't know that he died necessarily. He doesn't know that he's laying there dead. What would it have to be when the Rambam is saying lo omru el lames bilbad, meaning as opposed to not somebody who was killed? If you find somebody who was killed, let's say by having his head chopped off, there's no question that obviously the person who killed him knew that he's dead at that moment. There's no way he could survive that, or the person ripped out his heart or whatever. That's the kind of thing that Rambam is saying. That's what it means. Lo omru tumas hatahoim el lames bilbad means somebody who was killed in a way that you know for sure that the person who killed him, that he was dead right there on the spot.
But we defined previously from us, the Gemara defined it as not being sure that someone did see it, but being sure that nobody saw. So how can we come and say now that it's being sure that someone saw them?
No, it has to be a situation where you find the body and there's no reason to suppose that anybody saw the body since it was dead. That's the point. So even if it was shot with an arrow, for example, there's no reason to assume that anybody could have seen him since he was dead. Because you find him ultimately. No, you don't find him lying there on the ground. You find him buried under 10 feet of dirt. That's the point. So 1,000 years ago, somebody may have shot him with an arrow. So at that time, fine, somebody knew, obviously. But that's the point. That person who shot him, even he, at the time, didn't know this person is dead, necessarily. Now, 1,000 years later, we find the body under 10 feet of dirt. Fine. It was never a Tumas HaTahoim in the first place. As opposed to, you find, under the same 10 feet of dirt, you find somebody with his head chopped off. Obviously, the person who killed him knew that he was dead. And that's not Tumas HaTahoim, therefore.
Wow. Whereas the arrow, it is Tumas HaTahoim.
Yeah.
Nobody knew even that.
The killer himself may not have known, right?
Even if the killer doesn't see, the body falls out, he can assume somebody's body and buries it somewhere, so the table on the ground. So,
maybe.
Unless he stays and watches, and no one touches it.
But that's the point. You know, if you find it from hundreds of years ago, you don't know whether he stood there and watched it or not. So that's what Radvaz says, that if it was killed by an arrow or what have you, you can still consider it Tumas HaTahoim. Only if it was killed, for example, by having his head chopped off or whatever, do you then say that's what you mean, as opposed to somebody who was killed in a way where you know for sure that the assailant, that the murderer, knew that he was dead at the time.
How would he himself that he knew he was going to die?
I don't think that counts. Because otherwise, it's never Tumas HaTahoim. I mean, you, the only way you would have is like if a person is already in a coma or something, and then an avalanche kills him or something. No. Yeah.